I hope I'm getting through. This is Independent Librarian Dynamic Sean Kennedy VI. This is episode number 732.653.663.398.36.1. This is a pirate radio broadcast in Queen's English from sometime after now. By listening to this, you should be advised you're violating your listener's license agreements. You could be shoved subject to suspension of your listener's license. You should disconnect now if you've come across this by accident. That's vitally important that you listen to this. If you're the one who turned this off, you're the one who needs it more than anyone. So light your candles. And may server protect us all. What do you say to ghosts who died before you were born? What do you say to people you've never met? What do you say to people who have the only chance of saving you, maybe preventing you from existing? The purpose of this broadcast is so that you can change the beginning to stop the end. I have so much to tell you. I have so much to try to get across. I hope there's still time. I have no notes, so I'm going to forget a few things. Paper's hard to come by. More than that, it's expensive. Being an independent librarian doesn't pay much. Other than, you know, a quick trip to the recycler. I don't know what time it is right now. I mean, I could give you the hour of the day. I'm doing this at about 22:37. I couldn't tell you exactly what year it is. We're in the springtime now. The sun's just starting to get unbearable. I've been able to avoid it most of the outside. It's hard. How do I tell you what's going on now? The only way to do it is to try to start from the beginning, if I can ever find out where the beginning is. If I can find out where the beginning is, maybe we can stop the end. Maybe it can't be stopped. But, gotta try. You always gotta try. I suppose the beginning was, well, Y2K. Famous Y2K. Everyone said that the world was gonna end. Everyone said that everything was gonna go sideways. And it did. The world did end with the year 2000. It's just nobody noticed. Maybe no one cared. We were too distracted by everything going on around us. We were too distracted by our own lives, but the idea is that maybe somehow, some way, everything was going to be okay if we could just change the channel. Big wake-up call came on September 11th, the famous 9-1-1 of 2001. That was the real start of it all. That was, I mean, it would have come otherwise, but I guess that was the thing that really put it into perspective. See, at that time, there was terrorist action. They crashed these planes into these two massive towers. They weren't arcologies, but they were big for the time. They were in New York, where now the Eastpak Mega now stands. Anyway, the towers crashed down, killed a lot of people. A lot of innocent people. It shocked the whole world. Up until that point, the United States was this untouchable, unbreakable thing. It was this force of God. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of terrorists took these multi-billion dollar pieces of machinery and used them against America. The world went mad. that time fanned the fires. Paranoia was everywhere. Everything became terrorism. Not like today. It wasn't enforceable. But they were just whipping it up. Everyone was afraid of the terrorists. If you broke the law, you became a terrorist. The fear that came in was the lubrication to legislate all the civil rights away. People were more concerned with being safe than being free. The Homeland Security Act was passed, allowing the government to have absolute power. If you were even antisocial, you were a terrorist. At that time, there was a distinction in criminals. There was hackers and computer crime. Apparently there was a bunch of terms for them. It was a hacker. I think there was a cracker as well. There's a couple other ones too. There was one involving the phones, which I can't remember. I don't think it's hacker though. Anyway, the Homeland Security Act was the first step in blanketing all of it away, making it all one big happy family of crime. It starts to get a bit fuzzy after that. Time wasn't copywritten at that time, but it was education, misinformation, everything is kind of a little bit sketchy. We don't know what's really happening. But we know after that, all the guns were outlawed in North America. Only the military, only the police had guns. Everyone was talking about safety again. It was all for the safety. Safety of children, safety of this, safety of that. But they never learned from history. It happened before. It happened with Hitler. It happened with the Nazis. It happened time and time again. Every time an empire starts to really dig its heels in, just before they do, they take away all the guns. That was when alternative weapons really hit the mainstream. Swords came back with a vengeance. Martial arts were vilified in the press and the media of the day. Oh, you're learning martial arts? Why? Do you want to hurt people? That's amazing. Anything that could be used to protect yourself was vilified. And we took it. Oh yeah, we took it. We all just accepted it. It was a few years later when the real crackdown came. The listener's license. What a fantastic concept. Can't believe it. See, it happened like this. There's all this piracy. See, everybody was... Piracy is now what they consider a theft. See, in order to combat piracy, which was getting really rampant, all this information was flowing around. Nobody really liked that. So they wanted it gone. They wanted to get rid of piracy. But they couldn't stop it. The internet was growing every day. No one could stem the flow, so they created the listener's license. It started real easy. See, music, legitimate music to purchase was, say, $20. And then what they did was, if you signed up to get this card, like a loyalty program card of the day, you'd get 75% off. So a $20 CD became a $5 CD. And you could buy it legitimately. For $20, you could walk out of there with 4 CDs. Amazing. Of course, people were signing up for it droves. I mean, why wouldn't you? You could go buy a pirate CD for $6, or you could buy the real thing for $5. Consumers are such mercenaries. So they signed up en masse. 2 years went by. 2 years. And then it became mandatory. See, if you didn't have your listener's license, if you couldn't present your card, well, you weren't able to buy music. Part of the licensing agreement came when you got the card. and all of a sudden people were out in the cold. But it wasn't just the music, you know. The Listeners Not Licensed was created by the conglomerates. They all got together. If you wanted to see a movie, hey, if you had your listener's license, you could get in for $2. $2. Oh, you don't have a listener's license? Well, you can't get in. See, they couldn't control the piracy, so they stopped it at its source. If ever you were found to be a pirate, or your computer was ever found to have MP3s that weren't appropriate on it, you were eliminated. Your listener's license was revoked, and you were out of the loop. That's all private enterprise. You don't have a right to music. You never had a right to music. It's all private. No more movies, no more shows. Can't even buy art. Because you could scan it. What if you scan that picture, you know? So, regulation, of course, is always the first step to total domination. But we didn't see that either. We weren't ready for that one. At that time, the listener's license had huge power. Not the power it has today. I mean, now, you don't have a valid listener's license. I mean, in our time, you can't do anything. I mean, you're a pirate. If you can't present as part of your paperwork, it's true. Or your identification. See, the listener's license, after they came out with that, that was a huge step one. But everyone was so focused on the listener's license, they didn't see where the real power play was made. See, everyone was so whipped up in the media again, you know, corporately controlled media. Got everyone focusing on the benefits or the drawbacks. A big debate over the listener's license. But what they didn't see was, it was the regulations that went into play on recording equipment. See, that was the real, that was the one that really came back. They started putting in these standards on microphones, any kind of recording media. You wanted to record, well, got to adhere to this standard. Because it's the future. We got to make sure the quality's there. Chips were put into place. All recording media became regulated. No listener's license? Well, at the very least, you can't buy recorded media. You can't make your own music if you don't have a listener's license. And this grew to where it's at today, where there's no more cameras. And microphones are gone. All the kit I'm using here, this will get me recycled for sure. So just by listening, unfortunately, you're breaking the law. But if you're still listening, then you probably have it in your head that listening to people talk probably isn't bad, despite what the prompters say. Speech should be free. People should be able to talk. There used to be a time when people could sing openly without being worried about licensing. There used to be a time when you'd be able to read a book or tell a story. Of course, the books are gone. You can still lose your license by telling stories. It's a dangerous business being creative. There were a few who knew the dangers that come from that listener's license. There were a few who caught on. But just as, you know, the joke was starting to get up, the impossible happened. The Asian War. Oh, man. Well, the beginning of it, it didn't actually start in Asia. It started in the Middle East. There's a whole lot of information that nobody gets. You know, no one knows who started it. It was Israel. Or apparently there was a country called Pakistan and Palestine, and a bunch of other ones. No one knows who started it. Most destructive conflict, man-made conflict, the world had ever seen. See, what happened was, is that one day, out of the blue, someone set off a bomb. thermonuclear device. It was a big one. It's different in chaining reports. People, you know, they said it was anywhere between 1 and 5 megatons. I've heard people even say it was 8 megatons. It went off. And all the Middle East was caught in this big firestorm. People were still watching television when the other bombs went into the air. Missiles, huge. Maybe they were launched when the bomb was coming, but altogether something like 13 nuclear bombs went off. The government had satellites in space to try and stop this very thing. They hit them, you know. They shot them with these lasers, I guess, from the satellites. But of course, everybody knows that they had these lasers in space, so the bombs were armed once they left, you know, airspace. That was it. They were armed, and when the lasers hit them, well, they just detonated in the atmosphere, right in the ozone layer. And despite what anyone tells you, that's the truth as to how we lost it. Nobody knew it was going to happen. Nobody knew that that would have been the great cataclysm. Our great achievement of technology. We were all scared the nukes were going to kill us all. We just didn't know how they were going to do it. The bombs that went off and the ozone layer started a chain reaction. Burned off 95% of our ozone layer. I heard a stat. Somebody said it was 95%. Other people say it was 50%. 40%. I don't know. But with those bombs flying around. See, because everything was regulated, all the knowledge was regulated, the real killer of it all is that they didn't tell us. They never told us that the ozone layer was gone. And then the people started to die. The Great Plague. Third world nations were wastelands. Some people would go out in the mornings and they just die right there in the fields. When they came and got them that evening, they were open sores on them. The water around them steaming. It wasn't even bugs. The whole ecology just went for hell. The rainforest started to die. Everything started to die right then and there. But nobody was willing to admit it was the ozone. Everyone just said fallout. It was all the fallout. Right then and there that America cut the guts out of the gas nations of the Middle East. Any chance they had for any kind of economy was toast. They knew that the gas flow was going to stop, so they put their plan into effect. Through the wonders of military technology, we developed the modern-day waste gas machine. That's what the cars run on here. Any combustion engine runs on waste gas. Waste gas is a gasoline made from any kind of organic substance. I don't know the chemistry or the science behind it. You take anything organic, essentially, especially any kind of meat, put it in here and it makes fuel. They were used for tanks and whatnot. So conversion kits were selling like hotcakes. Everyone was putting these things out. Motorcycles went through the roof. Everyone was using a bike. Which was funny. You You'd think that having bikes all that time would have been great, but we didn't have the ozone layer, so people had to drive around in these armor-clad, spacesuit-looking things. Those were the first Envirosuits. Shortly after that, the Great Plague came. This was a combination disease, the Great Plague. The Great Plague. Even today, they're still fighting over what it was. What is the Great Plague? What is that? See, all the toxins that were already in our bodies, we didn't start with the ozone layer. We were poisoning ourselves long before that with hormones and stuff we were doing to meat. Pharmaceutical companies were powerless to stop it. I mean, they claimed everything from food being tampered with to terrorism to fallout. Blame it on the fallout. I really kicked it on the organic growers, too, because they weren't keeping with technology. Organic food went on a total dive. Of course, with the ozone layer gone, demand for food was like never before. The first dome farms were starting to be built, but it was never enough. Well, that's when they started giving us scraps. See if I can remember what that stands for now. What is it? I think it's a synthetically created ration provision, or a rationed provision. Scraps. Yeah, generic food for the masses. The only thing that it was said it was made out of was consumables. Consumables for consumers. Once upon a time, you used to be able to grow apples in your yard. Without any licensing or regulation, you could just grow an apple tree. Not anymore. I can't remember the last time I had a meal that wasn't out of a bag. Corporations were cleaning up. But the plague going through the United States, 50 million people died in 4 years between the sun and the disease. And that was when the first burning booths went up. It was a sanitation thing. You stuff the bodies in, burns it down to its base chemicals, and you get the $1.86 worth. Out of a little slot on the side. Huge lineups of people. Trucks. Stacked high with as many bodies as they could find. Just waiting to cash them in. You could make $100 a day if you work 9 hours burning bodies. But the cash incentive of the streets got clean pretty fast. That's where the first human resources companies came into play. That's where they got their startup cash. Burning bodies of the dead, killed by the plague. Of course, the corporations were making a killing. With all the smaller competitors, companies not able to look after their staff, they just started snacking them up. There's more megacorps made in a 10-year span. Companies that were megacorps lost all their power, and new ones just were created overnight. People who did know the ozone were gone. Well, the first arcologies were made. Towers. Glass and steel protect us all, keep us all safe, provided you were employed. If you were employed, you got to live in the arcology, you got to use their filtration system. Oh, yeah. And you take part of their company's licensing. All always the concern with licensing. Of course, now entertainment had taken a far more sinister tone. Everything was war. Nobody even knew how to stop it. Nobody knew what to... So the entertainment reflected that. They started filming basic training, sending in camera crews with special forces team. War, live and direct. Filming people getting shot. Filming the fallout. It's great TV. They had sport, nationalism, hatred, a feeling of superiority, all bred into one convenient primetime special. By the time this had all happened, any thought of tracking the internet was gone. No one even knows how far I reached. Maybe it's still growing. Somehow I doubt it. It's possible. Monks say it still is. But to go with the listener's license, finally the full-fledged dream of the World Licensing Organization was created. And they set the standards for all things. Once they were established, all the megacorps, what was left of the United Nations, they couldn't stop them. So they began to copyright everything. Behind closed doors, nobody had a say. Queen's English is copywritten. That's why I try not to keep my street slang down to a bare minimum. It's not just language, though. It's every word, every image, program, software, everything's owned. That was when they stopped teaching us how to read. Of course, if you were employed, part of your company's licensing scheme, well, yeah, you learned how to read. For us fringers out here, there's no hope for you. Every idea is owned. Add a whole new line of buzzwords. Unlicensed knowledge is pornography. Unregulated media is propaganda. Sharing is theft. All those catchy little slogans. If it wasn't for the WLO, maybe we had a chance. Maybe the government could have stood up to them, but when the WLO went in, that was... I think that was really the end. That was the last of it. That was the final nail. The government's based on a legal system. Businesses use that legal system to take out the government. Oh, sure, we still got our government now. You know, they're nothing more than just a human resources tool. Keep the fringers out. Cities turning into wastelands, everybody moved indoors. The sun was killing anyone left outside. But like all survivors, we found a way to adapt. Mostly just walking around with layers and layers and layers of clothing like the nomads in the desert used to do. I try to imagine what the cities looked like at that time. I try to imagine what it must have been like. These huge, bleached out, white sheets of concrete and tinted glass. Occasionally individuals scuffling quickly out of doors. Cars with tinted glass. Slowly going up and down the streets. Occasionally someone would fall over, start having convulsions. They'd barely even stop moving before a truck would show up and five Bedouin-looking types would jump out and throw the body still twitching in the back of the truck. The guy was worth $2 to him dead. There's no reason to try to save him. hospital stopped treating plague. I mean, if you had the money, you were okay, but most of the cops set up perimeters around the hospitals. Emergency services were never available for the poor, not for the homeless. Of course, with the licensing regulations, you couldn't be a doctor and just work on your own. Oh, there was doctors who did. The greats, you know. I mean, everyone still talks about good old Carl Granberg. Dr. Carl Granberg. If you haven't heard of Dr. Carl, he was he's a guy who set up a hospital all on his own out on the fringes. Well, that was the early stages of the fringes. I mean, before the arcologies really nailed down what the fringes were, he went to the outskirts. I think it was Chicago at that time. Anyway, found this old concrete plant, set up a hospital there. It's kept secret for close to 5 years. God knows how many people he helped. Some people still pray to him, like he's a saint. Dr. Carl. I think I've got one of his books somewhere. With the Middle East and everybody ripping each other off. Eventually, of course, well, they ran out of people. And it just turned into a wasteland. And that was when China moved in. They just marched right in there, sent their troops into toxic spills so bad. But China kept sending their troops in. The Big Red Machine. That was when America really got scared. See, they could use media to get the populace, the ones who mattered, behind them. This big business war. So now, with the scare of the Big Red Machine, people were volunteering to stop that. They had an enemy, finally. Someone, not just these specific little groups. Any human rights for the soldiers went out the window. Biomedical experimentation, super soldier serums, genetic modification, DNA modification. It was all the order of the day. Thousands and thousands and thousands of these bright-eyed, bushy-tailed 19-year-old kids were strapped down under cold laboratory tables, jacked with God knows what. Of course, the media listed their more successful transformations as superheroes. Look at this. Johnny can lift 5 tons. Johnny will only live 12 months, but Johnny can lift 5 tons. It was a freak show. Treating these kids with drugs to take radiation, but the drugs would kill them in 10 years. But that's okay, we're not worried about the long term. Enough people survive to keep killing. Keep the war alive, keep the war effort going. War is good for business. Business was doing well. Cities became nothing more than, well, the megas. What was the first mega? I think it was the EastPac mega. Eastern Pacific mega city. Great achievement of our time. These huge towers. People could live without ever going outside. You never needed to worry about filtration. You never needed to worry about your water. You never needed to worry about that sun burning you to death. I remember they said you don't have to worry about mosquitoes, but, well, mosquitoes are long since history. That wasn't really mosquitoes I was worried about at that time. It was or making sure that my body didn't rot off my bones. That was the big one. That was the thing that had me interested in Omega. And even at that time, with the first Megas going up, they never admitted. They still would not admit that the ozone layer was gone. It was still fallout. Still fallout. The Asian War came to an end, and the Chinese bloodline was set up in Europe. The soldiers that did come home, those that lived past, 2 years, most of them were all discharged with a handshake and a medal, and in a way, in a sick way, I suppose it was good that the arcologies were up, because they all, most of them went to work as corp cops. They were still, usable as any kind of functional resource for them. The arcologies had their own police forces inside the buildings. Security forces making sure that espionage was under control. Not stopped, just under control. Big money to be made in the corporate espionage business. You got the right files, man, you can make money. That's a whole nother game, though. Instead of having 50-some-odd nations to do spies with, you've got thousands of them. A lot of the soldiers that came back were modified to be able to live in that kind of radiation. I hear that there's camps on top of some of the arcologies where no one goes, so security forces don't go up there. Some of the buildings, they've actually got, camps high above the cityscapes where these guys live and breathe and work, get food. Out in the wastelands, there's installations run by colonels. And I heard tell of a legion of them running around in the wastelands. Apparently there's a fellow by the name of Prophet runs it's this huge mass of vehicles, all runs on waste gas, and they drive around looking for God or something. I don't really know. I mean, it's kind of a legend. But some of the pilots, they talk about it. I don't know for sure. I've heard stories. It's kind of ironic. Technology's progressed so far now, we don't even know what's real and what's an idea anymore. I've heard stories of cyborgs completely bipedal walking synthetic people. I've heard stories of anti-gravity tanks. I've heard stories of just everything that's mentioned in the science fiction books. I've heard of it. But there's no way to confirm who has what technology, because all of it's locked down. Nobody knows who's got what. It's ironic that in a time when technology is so strong, there's so many people who still have no idea. The final hurdle, of course, was time. I got conquered just a few years ago, I guess. I mean, I can't say for sure. I've got no data. Just what I hear. The way that the people can hear this in the past is apparently they take some signal and they do something with it. Accelerate the frequency and using light or something. I don't know how it works, but they can transport electric frequencies and light back and forth through time. Some say that's what the UFOs were. All throughout history was people in the future throwing these bright balls of light back in time. But I don't know if we can do more than that. I don't know if some of the books I have, I've read about people talking about abductions and cattle mutilations and all sorts of stuff. I hope I'm making some kind of sense. I mean, it'd be easier if I could write a book. You know, I could just tell you what's happening. Of course, well, books, writing a book. I don't know why we call them books anymore. Writing a book. What are you doing reading a book? Everything's all on tablets now. There's no books or currency now, especially on the fringes. Hard currency. You got technical manuals, anything like that. You can trade that for a lot of scrap, man. Books can keep you alive. I guess if I were to just say to heck with it and stop being a librarian, I could probably wouldn't have to worry about eating for a couple years. What do you got at the end of it, though? I mean, there's nothing to rebuild. See, books are recycled. They use the material for whatever they can. It's hard to regulate a book. You see, you can't see who reads it. There's no licensing agreement in the table of contents. You just open the page and begin to read. It's the strength of books. That's what terrifies them. Paperless age. That's why mine is the most heinous of crimes. I'm a librarian. Sharing is theft, so I'm a vendor of stolen property to help those who I can. I'm not ashamed to say that I've taught 42 people how to read Queen's English. I can't speak any other languages. I'd like to learn, though. Teaching 42 people to read is probably the greatest thing I've ever done. Probably shouldn't broadcast for too much more. I'm running out of time. It's not good to broadcast for too long from a location. Oh, the cops don't really care that much about murder or open gunfire, provided it's not too near the arcologies, but if the corporaticals go and they send them out here, they'll find me. Cops here exist as shock troops only. I mean, the actual governmental police. They only respond to the massive violence or the corporate crimes. You could kill your wife and throw her body in the street. Hell, someone come by and throw her in a burn booth, you wouldn't even have to worry about it. But if you're doing a broadcast, playing music, oh yeah, you better believe it. They'll be down here and there, armed personnel carriers, and they'd be out there and you'd be dragged away, never to be seen from again. There's a couple of pirate stations run by the gangs in the inner city. Not inside the arcologies, of course, but where you get in your city core, you've got the... Well, it's different in every mega. There's different gangs run different blocks, and, you know, it's all black market commerce. Commerce, that's another thing. I mean, I got so much to tell you about, I just can't. I don't know, I want to get it all in. I suppose I should tell you a little bit about where we're at now. I'm sorry, it's so broken. I wish I could be more solid with you. See, the way the megas are now is they've got these, your typical mega is a stack of 50 or 60 massive arcology towers. And then you've got smaller court buildings and sparse in between them, like some kind of weird. Then you got everything circled into rings. because of what I do, I'm able to get inside the arcologies, but that's a whole other story. But just on the outside, on the inside, you've got, you know, corporations running these private little cities. Unbelievable stuff that goes on there. It's this twisted, surrealistic, everything's okay. Logos plastered on everything. Most wild propaganda you've ever seen in your life. They'll do anything from stuff from going outside to people of the arcologies. I mean, arkers are just, they're afraid of it. I've heard, you know, if people get removed from the arcology, they're given a choice. They can either go outside or they can just go straight to a burn booth. And they give them a good credit for their family, you know. Of course, outside the arcs, you got, well, there's an immediate mega core. I mean, that's, all the streets are vendors and gangs and thugs and prostitution, and it's like this huge, trying to describe it in a way that, it's an area of sound and fury and sex and noise and explosions and desperation, always desperation everywhere. You feel it clawing at your eyes. Getting a bit further out on the fringes, it gets a little easier. Areas that used to be neighborhoods and trash piles. There's a few neighborhoods left, mostly ex-gated communities taken over by independent policing communities. People trying to survive, you know. And then in the far fringe, well, that's where all the wreckage is put. They just take the waste from the arcs and the inner communities and they run them with the trash decks out to the fringe and dump it. Most people out here have, well, then we all live in cars. Most of them don't run anymore. We're on foot a lot of the time. Try to stay down during the day. Go out mostly at night. Even with the sunscreen, it doesn't really help. Apparently they used to make sunscreen as a... Sunscreen was a lotion. Today we... There's actually a fabric called sunscreen. The arcs use it on their windows, and if they have an outdoor function, they'll go and they'll put the sunscreen up so that this huge sheets of the stuff. That's worth money. If you can get sunscreen, well, you can trade that for just about anything out here. Big bucks. Big bucks for sunscreen. Status now is really strange. Things that people used to take for granted are now status. It's unbelievable. Like having hair. I mean, if you've got a good head of hair, well, that's something. It means you're healthy, for one. Two, you can look after it. Mostly arkers only have hair. I mean, I can't remember the last time I had hair. It's unsanitary anyway. At least that's what they tell you. Of course, it's not true for Carcass. My man, Carcass. That's my big status symbol. I got a dog. I can tell you more about him later, but poor old Carcass, he's... I don't know if you can call it hair. That's what happens when a military gen jokes you. Kind of run out of things to say right now. So much more I've got to give you. I just wanted to give you a heads up. I'll talk to you soon. I should get going. Been here for too long. This is Independent Librarian Dynamic Sean Kennedy VI, broadcasting from a 1960 Plymouth Fury at an unknown grid. Please help me.